As you know, as we've been going through the last few weeks, we've been looking at extraordinary women in the Bible. We started with Eve, a woman of hope. We then moved to Sarah, a woman of faith, and today also Ruth, a woman of faith. Ruth is one of those characters in the Bible that seems wonderful from beginning to end. We have a limited understanding of her background. She was a Moabite. She came from the land of Moab. And we need to understand something of her background to get a picture of what she turned her back on and what she went towards. When we look at the Moabites, we go back in history. And we discovered that Abraham had a nephew called Lot. And after the towns of Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed, Lot and his family fled, but his wife turned back and turned into a pillar of salt. Lot then travelled with his two daughters in the direction of Moab. And there they decided, these two women, to get their father drunk and to have a sexual an encounter with him so that they could have children. Now, one of the children of this incestuous kind of relationship was a young man called Moab, a baby called Moab. And he grew up and obviously intermingled with the people of that town, of that time, and eventually they were called Moabites. Now, there was that familiar relationship then with the people of Israel. There was this family join. Abraham and his family were sort of distant relatives then to the Moabites through Lot. But as history went on, things didn't go well between the people of Israel and the people of Moab. When the people of Israel travelled through the Sinai Peninsula, they wanted to enter the land through the land of Palestine or Canaan through the territory of Moab, who refused them entry. And later on, Balak, who was the king of the Moabites, sort of paid Balaam, the priest, the prophet, to call down upon the Israelites a curse from God. And things never got any better from that point onwards. There was always this distrust, conflict, even wars between Israel and the Moabites. And that's what makes this story so interesting. We find it strange as we think about Elimelech leaving the town of Bethlehem to go to a place called Moab. Elimelech's name means "my God is king," and he came from the house of bread, Bethlehem, and he ends up in Moab looking for food. And there things go from bad to worse. Elimelech passes away. His two sons, after his death, married Moabite women, Orpah and Ruth. By the way, as part of Bible trivia time here, Oprah, her mum got the name wrong in the birth register. It should have been Orpah, but it turned to an Oprah. Got the P and the R in the wrong spot. That's something you can take away from this sermon today. So, but they married these Moabite women who obviously were not women of God. They were not part of the children of God. They worshipped their own gods. And when Naomi talks to them, when they follow her, she says, "Go back to your gods and your people." They were not believers in Yahweh, the one true God. So it's against that backdrop that Ruth really stands out as a remarkable woman. I think to myself as I look at this story, how did Ruth turn out to be the woman that she was or became? What were the great influences on Ruth's life, and I cannot help but think that it was Naomi. When you read Naomi, even in the chapter that we read now, the words the Lord God, come up frequently. She was a woman of great faith. I don't think Elimelech was, because he left his people to go to the land of Moab. He took things into his own hands. I don't think Mahlon and Chilion were the husbands of Ruth and Orpah. I don't think that they were either, because they married Moabite women, women who worshipped another gods or other gods. I think it was Naomi that was the great spiritual influence in Ruth's life. And I think that's why the women had so much loyalty towards her. As I said, she often spoke about God, and it just bubbles up in the text in which we are looking at. As she's travelling down the road with her two daughter-in-laws heading back to Israel, to Bethlehem, I think she suddenly thought to herself, what future is there for these two young women in Israel? And it's at that point she urges them to go back to their families. And that's when we come across that remarkable statement of faith from Ruth. Allow me to read it. Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me. What a wonderful statement of faith. There's a remarkable beauty about that. In the past, at the church here, I've used that as a part of a profession of faith service. It's beautiful, it's powerful, and it is unbelievably remarkable for a Moabite woman with a different history and background and different gods to say these words again. Why? What touched her life? And brothers and sisters, we can only speculate a little, but I'm quite confident of my own speculations. What drives a person to turn their back on their own people, their country and their God, and join another people, another family, another God? What causes a person to convert, change their mind? And it can only be, I think there are two primary causes, and that is the stories of God that we find in the Bible, which Naomi would have passed on to Ruth, part of her own cultural heritage. She would have told Ruth about what God did to the Egyptians, about the patriarchs before that, and how God gave them the land. And I dare say that Ruth would be mighty impressed with the stories of Naomi's people and Naomi's God. And secondly, and I think this has a huge impact even today when people come to faith in Christ, is that Naomi was a woman of faith. Like I said, it bubbled out of her, but her lifestyle, her practice would have been so different to the Moabites around them. The Moabites were known for their sexual promiscuity. The Moabites were known for the worship of other gods. But Naomi must have stood different to the others, the other women, the other people of the village in which they lived. A woman of faith. In those days, widows would often tattoo themselves to demonstrate that they are women, probably on their foreheads. In the Pentateuch, in the first books of the Bible, it says, do not tattoo yourself for the dead. Naomi wouldn't have placed a tattoo on herself for the dead. She was a person that believed that God can bring about resurrection and new life and new hope. And I think Naomi's morals, her lifestyle, her faith stood in stark contrast to those around her. And I think that was what won Ruth's heart. When a person comes to faith in God, what do you think are the main factors? I think it's a profound disappointment, basically, with the past. And an amazing hope in the future because of God. Because when a person converts or repents, they change the road that they travel. And that is what Ruth did. And she could only have done so because she heard about God, like Rahab did, and because of the influence of Naomi in her life. In Jesus' day, Jesus was very popular at the beginning, but then the disciples fled. Many disciples left him, not the 12. And Jesus said to them, you know, are you not also going to leave? And then Peter, always the first to speak, says, to whom else would we go? Because you alone have the words of eternal life. I often think to myself, just about me, why am I a Christian? And I can't help but think it's for those reasons. Because you alone, Jesus alone, has the words of eternal life. He's the only one that gives purpose and meaning and direction and hope for my life. To whom else could I go? I look around me in society, and Ruth must have done the same, and think, you know, there are people that Jesus describes as lost, sheep without a shepherd, and each one goes their own way. That is the great hope of being a Christian: direction, a future, a God who holds me in his grip. Jesus said, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Jesus also said this, and we're going to pick up on this just before I conclude. When Jesus calls us to follow him, we are told this. Truly I tell you, Jesus replied, no one has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. Isn't that true for Ruth in the story as you follow it along? She turned her back on her home, her family, her work, and she went towards God and the people of God, and she received hundreds of times more than when she had stayed at home. And yet that is what faith does. It drives us to God, turning our back, going towards God and great and wonderful blessing, but with persecution. In my NIV Bible, right at the in the introduction to Ruth, we read these words. The stories of the judges show the disaster that came when God's people turned away from him. Ruth shows the blessing that came to a foreigner who turned to Israel's God and so became part of his covenant people. When we evangelize people, what is the result? When we speak the words of the gospel, what is the result? I don't mean in terms of becoming a Christian or not, but the result in that person's life that converts can be very, very difficult. Someone comes to faith in God. But if you're a Muslim or a Hindu or a Buddhist, if you come from another religion and you become a Christian, what is the result? It means alienation from your family, doesn't it? They don't always understand why you do what you do. Sometimes there's hatred and sometimes the risk of death to become a Christian. I've talked to many Christians, many people who have become Christians whose family is just an Australian family, who simply do not understand them. Simply do not understand them. How could you become a Christian? They're atheists or agnostic, but how could you become a Christian? And every time they have family gatherings, they sort of feel a little bit on the outer because their family simply doesn't understand the road that they're following. And perhaps they feel that somehow their lifestyle's inadequate and they feel threatened by your decision. There are many women who have become Christians whose husbands simply don't understand their decision. Ruth did that, you see. She's one of the first, if you like. Rahab was there, but Ruth was a foreigner from a people that hated God's people, a foreigner who joined God's people, but she had to turn her back on the past and suffer for that. But she was confident in the God that she was now following and in Naomi. This is what happened later on in the story. We read this, Boaz, meeting Ruth for the first time, but having heard about her, says this to her. Boaz replied, I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland, same things again, you see there, father, mother and homeland, and came to live with the people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. A person becoming a Christian turns their back on the past, but they go to a rewarding future, and yet one that has difficulties in it, persecution. The thing is, you don't know what that reward will be, do you? For Ruth, as we look back at the story, she gains a husband and becomes the ancestor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we don't always know what the reward will be, but we know this part of the reward, and we know it very well, because we're going to come around the Lord's Supper table in a minute. We know that our sins have been dealt with by Jesus and our guilt has been atoned for. We know that we have life in Christ and that he directs us and empowers us through his Holy Spirit. We know that eternal life awaits us. We know these things for sure. And we know that we will gain a new family, the family of God, people that love us and care for us, because that is what we as the family of God are called to do. These things will remain constant. Those blessings will remain constant. But when we turn our back on the past and we go on that road to Bethlehem in Judea, where Jesus was born, and we bow before him, we do not know all the other parts, but we know that. We know great blessing will be ours for following Jesus. Ruth is a remarkable story. We know God rewarded her. A husband, children, one of them David, King David, another one the Lord Jesus Christ. And it just reminds us that through faith in God, we can be incorporated into the people of God. The last thing I just want to mention is the character of a person of faith. I think the great character that belongs to a person of faith is loving kindness, which permeates the story of Ruth. Ruth's loving kindness towards her mother-in-law. God's loving kindness to Ruth. Boaz's loving kindness to Ruth and Naomi, providing for them. One of the characteristics of the Christian community must be loving kindness, loyalty, commitment, a desire to support those who are coming into the faith, a desire to love each other as brothers and sisters. And again, I think the Lord's Supper table just pictures some of that. Brothers and sisters in Christ, part of the one family, committed to the same cause, saved by grace, people of hope and a future. Ruth, a remarkable woman. Remarkable what she turned her back on. Remarkable whom she turned towards. And remarkable how God rewarded her. And I think for every Christian person, there's that same remarkable thing. Remarkable about what we turned our back on. Remarkable of what reward we have in Christ. And remarkable all the blessings that flow from that. Ruth and Naomi, wonderful women of faith. Amen.